Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're all having a phenomenal Thursday afternoon. Sorry that I missed you yesterday, but I was at the Brewers-Mets doubleheader. Both games obviously had a great time in the afternoon. Not such a great time last night, but overall a phenomenal experience. How many times do you get to see your favorite team play a doubleheader? The opportunities are minimal, so I took advantage of yesterday and had a lot of fun out there at Citi Field. Happy to be back with you here today, talking about very little going on with the green and gold, the Green Bay Packers, all quiet on the Green Bay front, but wanted to check in with you guys before the holiday. I know a lot of you are probably going to be doing things, attending parties, having a good time over the 4th of July weekend, so we won't be having a Packers Daily tomorrow, but like I said, I did want to check in prior to the start of the holiday weekend, and I hope you're all staying safe, having a great time, doing whatever it is you're doing. I'll be seeing a couple movies this weekend with my daughters, going out for dinner with my daughters tonight, so good family time here, Shay Nagler, but whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, whatever, whoever you're going to be with, have a great time. Hope you stay safe, most importantly, and you know, the whole weekend, all I'll be thinking is it training camp yet? I mean, my goodness. I know we get kind of through June and it's hot and it's finally, quote, summer. And then July starts and all I can think of is, oh, it's the month that training camp begins. That first practice on the 23rd, we're going to blink and it's going to be here. But of course, over the course of the next couple weeks, we're in a bit of a desert when it comes to news, activity around the team. But we'll still be here. Each and every day, Cheesehead TV, giving you content, whether it's on the website, here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking it out. Make sure you're subscribing to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. The latest one went out this morning. There's a link in the description of this video for you to do so. So hope you'll do that. Hope you'll join us tonight at Happy Hour. If you're a Patreon member, Care of the G Club member, don't forget Happy Hour is tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. The information is on your respective pages. In the meantime, good to see everyone chiming in here in the comments section. Andrew, Jim, Ben, everybody showing up. Chuck Olson got questions about the Miz during last night's game. That was hard to watch. But of course, before we get to all your questions and comments, which are, of course, always greatly appreciated, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, people. What's going on, folks? Andrew Ware starting us off with a super chat. Thanks, buddy. How about them Mets fly the W? Sir, you only won one game. Well done. Oh, my gosh. I know the Mets are down bad, and they've lost, like, 14 of their last 20 or whatever it is. But, man, congratulations, you won a game. Great job. I kid, of course. It did suck to be there to watch it, though. But how about those Brewers in the afternoon? That Ortiz Grand Slam, baby. That was a lot of fun. Mimsy, how are you, man? Miz cursed by Nagler, the horror. This is what I said. Somebody made that reference slash joke on another platform yesterday. Does that mean I get credit for Ortiz's Grand Slam? I mean, as long as we're dishing out, you know, credit and blame, that means I am the reason there was a Grand Slam in the first game. Obviously, I'm just following the logic here. Very good. Well, we got preseason football game at the end of the month. Yes, there is preseason football. And it's weird because it used to be so almost cathartic to find football again, right? Like have it back in your life. But I think I talked about this the other day. Now, like this morning, I was watching the Packers, a couple of different Packers games from this past season. I have most of the modern era at my fingertips, you know, that I can watch whenever I want. In a way that back in the day, you got that Hall of Fame game. It was like a hit. after the longest drought of your life. And it was football. And it didn't matter that, yeah, it was backups to backups. And certainly it was hard to watch into the third or fourth quarter, but it was football. But now you've got access to football. It's not live, but you've got football in your life whenever you want it, right? But yes, it is exciting to have, you know, the NFL back, camps kicking off, preseason games starting up. Like, don't get me wrong, I do get excited, but it's just not quite the same as it used to be. Richard, that's a great question. Who is the loudest coach you have ever heard at training camp? On the Packers staff? I'll always remember Mike McCarthy dropping several F-bombs at a night practice that were heard from all over and throughout. And that place was packed that night too. And he was on the far end of the field at Reinishke, but man, he was, I can't remember who he was cussing out, but he was pissed about something and it traveled. And it was loud as hell. That was a pretty good one. Bisaccia is up there. Bisaccia is in the running. Like, he's a loud guy. He gets his point across. They haven't had too many guys that are demonstrative like that throughout the years. They're more teachers, you know, than rough and tumble, get in your face and yell at you kind of guys. But those two leap to mind initially from your question. What else we got here, folks? Hello from Virginia. Hello from New York. The Heebs, this is a very good question. I wish I had an answer or something solid to give you. I really don't, though. Aaron, do you think this whole Elton thing is really a thing come training camp? All I know is it's not a thing right now. It's the dead part of the offseason. I have little doubt that the Packers and Elton's people have probably not spoke, and maybe they had some kind of back and forth prior to the start of the summer break when Elton obviously attended the mini camp. And then all parties go their separate ways. I would assume there was some kind of check-in during that period of time. And then an intent to regroup closer to camp. So right now it's impossible to say, right? My gut would be they get something worked out. The Packers do something with the contract to placate Elgton Jenkins and get him into the fold. But that is just guesswork. We will see. It is certainly going to be worth monitoring heading into the start of camp. No question about it. What else we got here, folks? Thank you, Mimsy. I appreciate it. Ortiz, blessed by Nagler, the miracle worker. Well, turnabout is fair play. That's all I'm saying. Appreciate it. Someone saying Holmgren for the loudest. I mean, he certainly got after guys in games. And yeah, he would certainly get after guys at training camp practice. I don't remember him ever truly. I mean, I wasn't there every day like I am now, but the few handful of times I went up, I never really saw him explode on guys. I mean, I know he did so at times. And he certainly was loud when he did it, but That was obviously before I was there every single day, right? No doubt. Double, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, thanks for the entertainment you and Corey provide. Happy holiday weekend. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I know it's kind of the dregs of the offseason here, just trying to keep you guys engaged, connected to the team, connected to each other, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do. But speaking of entertainment, a little tease for you. In the business, we call this a tease. We may be putting together some kind of event the night before the home opener, the season opener in Green Bay in early September. So be on the lookout for that. Rumblings behind the scenes. And I'm not just talking about a meetup. I'm talking about a show. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about a party with possible live performances from several different entities. So a little tease there for you. Be on the lookout. We'll have information as we get closer to the season. Heebs, that's a good question too, man. Have you kept up with this whole collusion thing? How J.C. Treader has a job is beyond me. Yeah, it is shocking. Let's put it, let's call a spade a spade. The whole episode is absolutely shocking. Considering everything like D. Smith and that group did. And like, as far as being a reaction to the guy who comes before you, right? I mean, D was so litigious as the head of the NFLPA and fought tooth and nail for every single little issue. And now you turn about and you have this J.C. Treader kind of led almost a collaboration with the league to suppress this report. And for those of you who maybe don't know and haven't kept up and haven't listened to Pablo Torre's podcast on the subject or read anything that Mike Florio has written about it, and Mike's been all over it, credit to him, it's pretty damning. You know, it's essentially the league finding, or the league, the arbiter finding the evidence or having the evidence of collusion between owners to not only depress quarterback contracts, but to make sure that no one basically caves into the idea that a fully guaranteed quarterback contract will be given out after the Deshaun Watson deal. I don't want to get too in the weeds on it, but the fact that this was all put together and seemingly the evidence was there, and J.C. Treader and the players union essentially went along with the league rather than turn around and use that as a bargaining chip or try to get concessions out of the league in the next CBA negotiations, which now have been put off. It's and the you know, essentially streamlining his handpicked candidate to head up the PA, and guys not being able to even know who they were voting for until the day they were voting. Like, they couldn't do any research. They weren't allowed to know. Like, it's all insane. It's crazy. And to your point, how J.C. Treader's still on that job, in that job, is mind-blowing. So, like, I know this ain't football per se, but it is certainly connected to NFL players that play for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm interested to hear any thoughts that the guys might have on this when I get to training camp in the summer. Ed, how are you, man? I remember having to suffer when the Pack lost to the college all-stars. The shame. Man, that's, wow. That's a, Ed, you're kind of dating yourself there, but that's a pull, man. That's old school. Lombardi, I want to call it his greatest embarrassment, but I know he was embarrassed. And I know Marinus writes about it in When Pride Still Mattered. Yeah, that was an embarrassing moment. No question about it. Someone just said, Ed, wow, you're really old. Now, let's be nice. You're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it. Good afternoon, Dennis. Thank you so much, Nags. What's up? How are you? Thanks for tuning in. Soder says, JC was privately trashing Russell Wilson, so I would assume that everyone is okay with JC just because. Yeah. Now. Yeah, that whole episode, man, it's kind of mind-blowing. Ah, Richard. Good poll. Any predictions on the reported new Packers throwback jerseys? Yes, I know one of the blogs / websites that tracks, follows, and reports on all the minutiae when it comes to who's wearing what throwbacks and what combination, blah, blah, blah. The Packers have, an empty slot. They have a new helmet that they could probably utilize with their 50s throwbacks if that's what they want to do. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm very interested to find out. They're apparently unveiling them on July 23rd, which is the first day of practice at training camp. So we'll find out here in a few weeks, but I hope it's, I'm always hopeful that it's going to be akin to, do I have it here? Oh, no, I don't. I'd love to see something like a nod to like the 30s or 40s. And I know, obviously, you don't get, the helmets would be very different, etc. I get all that. But I'd love to dip back into that era. You know, most of this has been, not most of it, but recently it's been such this run of the 50s style uniforms or colors. I know people weren't fans of the blue and the tan, but I love that stuff. So we'll see. We'll see a couple weeks away. What else we got here, folks? Ed, thanks again, man. Y'all are just jealous because I can remember how everybody, how happy everybody was when dirt was invented. Sweet, man. Well done. Well played. Rob, can you explain why we signed Jim McMahon? They needed a backup quarterback. And they had Brett Favre as a starter, and which meant there was probably a really good chance that Jim would never have to play. But he was a vet. He was a very experienced vet, a guy in the room that could relate with Brett and apparently got along with Brett, got along with Mike. And yeah, won a Super Bowl with him as a backup quarterback. And I do believe, if I remember right, and someone can correct me, but if I remember right, you know, Jim, obviously, I think if I remember right, he wore some Bears paraphernalia to the White House as a member of the Green Bay Packers when they visited the White House. But I also think later years, he said that was his favorite trip or something like that, and how much he loved playing for the Packers. Jim says, I went to inter-squad games, so that makes me pretty old. Yes, sir. Yes, it does. Steve says, I just want to hear the NFL film song in my head when I see the throwbacks. Hell yes, baby. Come on now. It's weird to see what is happening with NFL films these days. I talked about this a little bit on Twitter the other day, but, you know, this time frame, this window here, early July, right leading into camp, has been or had been when they would roll out the top 100 players in the NFL as voted on, quote unquote, by the players. And now that is exclusively an X original. So it's only on Twitter, you know, so NFL Network has been, they were showing this morning, I was watching like 10 years old Giants Cowboys game. You know, they're showing old games on NFL Network, which to me is something they should have been doing anyway. They should have been doing that instead of the top 100 stuff. But the top 100 stuff is so well produced. NFL Films does a great job. Like, you can quibble with the rankings and all of that, and that's why they're there, right? But the production of each of the players, of the guys, the packages they put together are so cool and so well done. But it's fascinating to me. That's, you know, NFL Films now is creating content on Twitter, essentially, right? Crazy world we live in now, baby. Crazy world. Rick, thanks to Super Chat, man. Do you have a favorite Packer play of all time? Mine is when Chris Carter tried to block Reggie White and Reggie threw Chris like he was a toddler. Yeah, was it Warren Moon or was it Randall Cunningham? I can't remember. Or was it Dante Culpepper? No, it wouldn't have been Culpepper. It would have been, I think it was, I'm trying to remember who the quarterback was. I think it was Cunningham. But yeah, that was a phenomenal play. No doubt about it. I mean, seems to be a Minnesota thing because the one that leaps to mind right after you say that play is Jaire Alexander throwing a blocker into a wide receiver in Minnesota. But favorite Packer play? Man, I don't know. There are so many. I've been asked this before, and obviously there are bigger plays in the pantheon of Packers history, right? But one of, and I could never pick a single favorite, but one of my favorites of all time, and I've said this many times, is the 80-yard bomb touchdown from Favre to Driver down in Champaign, Illinois. I think it was Monday Night Football. It's just one of the coolest fucking throws and plays you'll ever see. It was absolutely amazing. Mr. Tundra says it was Warren Moon. All right. Warren Moon. Soder says, Green's run. You were there. See, that's another one. I was there for that one. I'm on Green going 98 yards against Denver that night. That was magical. Still think I'll take the Favre throw, but it's close. No doubt about it. Mr. Tundra says Max McGee reaching behind him to catch a ball for a touchdown in Super Bowl I, which is an awesome play when you add in the idea or the fact that he was hung over as hell and maybe even still a little bit drunk from the night before. They'll talk about a legend. Come on now. Reggie White to Leroy Butler, first Lambeau leap. Dennis, an amazing play. What's funny for me is that play is one of the few times I wasn't able to see the game in that era. Like, there are plenty of games I didn't see at various points in my life. But in that era, I was religiously watching every single game. But that particular game, I had to work. And I was in the stock room of American Eagle Outfitters at the Fox River Mall listening to it on the radio. So when the Lambeau Leap happened, I was listening to Jim and Max call it. Good stuff. Good stuff. Freeman's he did what catch? That's an amazing moment. I was in Brooklyn for that one with Corey and my guy Luke. That's an all-timer. Yeah, everyone chiming in. It was Moon. Thank you for the heads up there. Definitely. Oh, there's always this. Reggie stepped on the sideline before he lateraled the ball to Leroy. I only got one question for you. Was it called? No, then he didn't. It's the old pass interference. Was that pass interference? Well, was it called? No, then it wasn't. Pretty easy. Was interesting. Do you think the NFL would ever implement rules in keeping aging veterans so they stay on the same team? I doubt they would streamline it like that. And you've kind of seen the cap and the ability to manipulate it has gotten to a point where if you want guys on your team that are older or whatever, you can maneuver the cap to make that happen. I doubt they would ever kind of streamline something like that. Mostly because it's a young man's game. You know, these GMs are not looking to keep old guys around. I mean, we as fans, we have a sentimentality for that idea, right? But the GMs, man, they want the athletes out there. They want the young guys out there. They want bigger, faster, stronger, younger. I would doubt that would ever become a real kind of talking point at around the league at all. I'd be surprised. What else we got here, folks? Oh, I see Jim says high on cocaine. That is it. Out of context. I'm assuming this is in reference to Chester Markle and not myself at this moment, because I am certainly not. All right, buddy. I have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said at the top, don't forget happy hour is tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Patreon members, Care of the G Club members, you got your info on your pages. Everybody else, please hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night and a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Go Pack, go.